Welcome to the Fantasy 40 Podcast with your host, John DeBari and Matt Walker.
Was that good or terrible? Don't even know. I had to record something. You're welcome.
Welcome back. We are back with a Fantasy Playoff Edition episode of the Fantasy 40 Podcast. Kind of that weird time of the year where fantasy for the most part's done for everybody. Well, the real NFL season's done, so fantasy's definitely done. And now people still need their fix, so there's some fantasy playoffs you wanted to talk a little bit about the week 17 chaos. So I will kick it over to Mr. Matt Walker to talk about week 17, then we'll talk about the real football playoffs and fantasy playoffs and dig into it from there.
Let's just, yes, let's do it. Real NFL playoffs are upon us. We get a little fantasy playoff talking. We took last week off because who knew what some of these people were going to do and who was going to play and who wasn't going to play, like my Eagles on prime time tanking for that six pick, you know, with thumb in their nose at the NFL. But let's look at week 17 real quick, just from a fantasy perspective. And do you know who running backs one and two were for week 17?
No.
Okay. Well, these running backs combined for 503 rushing yards and four touchdowns.
Oh, one's Derrick Henry.
And the other is Jonathan Taylor, who was running back one on the week, put up 253 yards and two touchdowns in week 17. They also combined for one catch for 1 yard on two targets. Running backs one and two in PPR had one catch for 1 yard. So just blowing the minds of these, I need pass-catching running backs to win my fantasy leagues. Now, let's talk about a few, we'll say, lost souls that made hay in week 17 as well. Our boy, Darwin Thompson, running back three, put up 30 points in week 17 with 14 for 45 and one rushing, 7 for 65 and one receiving. It's like a CEH owner's wet dream to see that type of.
I did not know that had happened. I did see his name floating out there in internet land, so I was wondering what I had missed. But now that you told me that, I am freshly disgusted.
Yep, as well you should be. I put a tweet out before the games kicked off and said, Darwin Thompson, the breaker of slates. Just knew he was going to put up a game because they had no one else. Le'Veon Bell was going to be active but not play. They're not going to let Darrell Williams get hurt because of the injuries to their top two starters. So it was going to be the Darwin Thompson show, and the dude had 21 touches. Going beyond that, Alexander Mattison, after disappointing the world in week six when Dalvin Cook is injured, gets a week 17 start and goes 21 for 95 and a touchdown with 3 for 50 and another touchdown receiving. Just thumbing his nose at all the people that believed in him for the regular season, and he helps absolutely no one in week 17. And the rest of the top 10, Dave Montgomery, J.K. Dobbins, Jeff Wilson, Sony Michel, some guy named Antonio Williams, and our boy Melvin Gordon. Yeah. What the what? I honestly don't know who Antonio Williams is. And I mean, forgot who Sony Michel was. And honestly, who cares who Melvin Gordon is?
Speaking of Sony Michel, not to get off on a tangent, but we are a dynasty program, if nothing more. I'm writing a thing for DLF where I'm looking at preseason ADP to what ADP is at the end of the football season. So the December ADP DLF did. And Damian Harris is one of the biggest risers, and I can't figure out why.
Nor can I. And our buddy Scott Connor put something on Twitter and said, yeah, like the Damian Harris's ADP was half that of Sony Michel, and that Sony Michel was by far the better back when he came back. And I think he's by far the better back, period. It's just he's been severely miscast and injury ridden and stuck in New England thus far. And this is just, you know, 3 for 60 and 1. I guarantee you that's his biggest receiving stat line. It might have doubled his yearly output. He's just is not used in the passing game whatsoever, even though he did it very well at Georgia during his time there. They have specialists in New England, and it's never been Sony Michel.
Yeah, I agree, and it's never going to be Harris, though, either, and I don't think, right?
Well, James White, I think, is a free agent. Everyone's ticking in him to be in Tampa Bay next year. Rex Burkhead will be like 30-some years old. I think I'm exaggerating, like 32, 33, and might not be back. So who knows? Maybe Michel becomes the pass-catching back and Damian Harris is the running back, or maybe everything changes in New England as they need to blow that entire thing up after the season. So I'm interested to read that article, John. But let's dive into wide receivers real quick. We'll touch on quarterbacks and tight ends very briefly. But this list is literally the top end, is a veritable who's who of 2015 fantasy drafts. And it starts with wide receiver one overall, Brandon Cooks, who went for 11 for 166 and two. Wide receiver two, Marvin Jones, who went for 8 for 180 and two. Antonio Brown, 11 for 138 and two. And then some younger fellows, Sterling Shepard had a day, 8 for 112 and one with a rushing touchdown. Tyler Lockett, 12 for 90 and two in such an ugly game against the 49ers, but they won. AJ Brown, 10 for 151 and one. My boy Chris Godwin finally got off the milk carton, 5 for 133 and two. Russell Gage, 9 for 91 and one. Jerry Jeudy, 5 for 140 and one. And Mr. Top 10 himself, Laviska Shenault, 6 for 68 and two. I love Visca. What's some names? Let's go to 11. Isaiah McKenzie. Can you believe Isaiah McKenzie? 6 for 65 and two and a punt return touchdown for Buffalo. He was top 11 wide receiver.
I need that to continue. I picked him up. He's one of my last waiver pickups in a bunch of leagues this year. It was a dart throw for next year. So arrows pointing up. Maybe I could flip him in the offseason for a second.
Yeah, I mean, just look at those blow-up games. Was there a week like this at any point in the season? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers in the top 11 have 2 touchdowns in a game. I don't know that there's been a week like this, and that's what makes week 17 so fun, is that it's just totally random where an Isaiah McKenzie is a wide receiver one.
Pro Bowl-esque.
Yes. Yeah, so not much to talk about there other than, you know, not your household names by and large, lighting the world on fire. Now let's just talk about quarterbacks very briefly. And quarterback one overall threw for 405 yards with 3 touchdowns, ran one in himself as well. Captain Kirk Cousins was QB1 overall in week 17 as he just obliterated the Lions defense without Dalvin Cook there, and sneakily had a very good fantasy season and real season. 4,265 yards, 35 touchdowns on the season. Everyone hates Kirk Cousins. He was just QB1 in week 17. Then it's Trigger Tom Brady, Justin Herbert, Cam Newton for nothing. Just to thumb his nose at every person that believed in him this year, decides to throw for 3 touchdowns in a meaningless week 17 win against the Jets. Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, who I love, just a warrior, and hopefully he's not with the Detroit Lions next year. Lamar Jackson, Matt Ryan. So not that shocking other than Cam Newton, in my opinion, who I didn't think was capable of going 21 for 31 for 232 and 3 touchdowns across 2 games of an NFL season this year. But he did it in week 17, sending Adam Gase packing.
Well, I don't know if that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That could be the greatest thing he's done in his career.
In pretty much one half of football, Josh Allen threw for 224 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he almost put up Cam Newton's stat line in one half against the Miami Dolphins.
Correct.
Just crazy. All right, nothing to talk about there. Now let's finish these guys off with the tight end position, and then we'll dive into the 2020 NFL playoffs. And this is an interesting, eclectic group of individuals as well. And as you know, I love me the tight end position. There's some names on here that I qualify for truth or status on. So I was excited. Number one, Darren Waller, just 9 for 117 and one. The dude is unreal.
Every week.
Yeah. I mean, he is fighting with Kittle and Kelsey. Like, there's a clear top 3 now. It's not top 2. He belongs in the conversation, especially in that offense. Number 2, Chris Herndon, 7 for 63 and 1. Literally nothing all season long.
Just take cut and paste what you said about Cam Newton and apply it to this. Thanks for nothing all fucking year.
Adam Gase kept him under his thumb all year. And then when it doesn't matter for anyone, he goes, all right, we're going to give you 9 targets.
Okay, get out there. The Patriots.
Have a big day, tight end too. Then some guy named Pharaoh Brown, who I'm 99% sure was a wide receiver at Oregon, like one of those big wide receivers, who somehow rose to the top of the Houston Texans depth chart because they just spin a wheel every week, and whatever tight end's name it lands on, that's who is going to see most of the passes from Deshaun Watson. And he caught all five of his targets for 48 yards and a touchdown, so good for him. Your boy Jared Cook was number four. Dalton Schultz, who got 10 targets to tie for the lead this week, was number five. George Kittle, who just – George Kittle's, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Austin Hooper, Hayden Hurst, Donald Parham, because there was no Hunter Henry. And then number 10, Logan Thomas, who just mossed an Eagles defender. I think it was T.J. Edwards for a big boy touchdown. Still only 3 for 37 and a touchdown, but congratulations to the Washington football team for making the playoffs. Number 11 was Devin Asiasi, who is the tight end of the moment with the Patriots. It was 2 for 39 and a touchdown, so maybe he's something next year.
I mean, a lot of people, I don't know about a lot of people, we like tight ends, and I think we were both high on Asiasi and Keen, both of them, and New England. I mean, who knows what they're going to do at quarterback, but we've seen with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, they have had offenses where two tight ends were successful at the same time. And given what they have at wide receiver and what they have draft capital wise and what the team needs on offense, if they both could take a little step forward in year two and then take a big step forward in year three, that they could be a key part of that offense. But I mean, that's huge speculation. There's literally 1 million moving pieces there.
Correct. And Devin Asiasi's stat line in week 17 was his stat line for the entire season, as he was an injured reserve for most of the time. And Dalton Keene did not do shit either. I mean, they almost ran without a tight end for a multitude of weeks. But it's nice to see a little glimmer from him, because I think there is potential with Asiasi. But that week 17 was like every other week for the tight end position. Random as shit, other than a few, you know, assumed names scattered at the top. But
yeah,
that was week 17 in a nutshell. That if you want some money, it's because you took some shots on some lesser knowns. There was really no chalk other than, I think, Alexander Mattison, like as far as DFS was concerned. Once Dalvin Cook it came out he wasn't going to play, I'm sure there was heavy interest on Mattison. But everyone else, yeah. Did you start Isaiah McKenzie? I don't believe you. Yeah, were you man enough to go Darwin Thompson? Sure.
Yeah, you're not wrong at all.
All right, let's leave that behind us. And congratulations to Derrick Henry for putting up 2,000 yards this season and being just an absolute freight train of a human being running roughshod over the NFL. He led by almost 500 yards to the second place guy, which was Dalvin Cook, who did missed 2 weeks, but still, nonetheless, 470 yards difference. Dalvin Cook was not doing that in two games, so just uber impressive. But then the other side of the Derrick Henry coin, 19 receptions for 114 yards on the season.
That's a lot of yardage.
Yeah, not a lot of pass catching yards, but
none.
We're leaving 2020 behind us. It's 2021. Yeah, we don't talk about 2020 anymore. So we're going to talk about our NFL playoff breakdown, going to lead us into a nice fantasy playoff segment, trying to give you some guys that we think have, you know, broad appeal, will play multiple weeks, all that shit that's valuable for the fantasy playoffs. So, John, why don't you dive in first and give me your AFC team week game by game, win loss, and how that stacks up carrying all the way through who you think plays.
Yeah. And in case someone was under a rock during this offseason, which is possible, only one team's getting the bye this year. So there are seven teams to pick from. So there is a little more depth than we usually get for fantasy playoff time. So there's six games this weekend instead of the usual four. AFC, you wanted to start with the Bills are hosting the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills are a 6.5-point favorite with a total of 51. The Colts barely squeaked in. If the Dolphins had won, I believe the Colts would have been out. Give meals in that one. You want to go into it or go through all three games and then discuss?
Let's run yours all the way through to who plays in the Super Bowl in Tampa and AFC. Then I'll give mine. Then we'll do the same for the NFC. And then we can, given that information, we'll dive into the players a little bit more.
So moving on, the number three seed, Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Cleveland Browns. Steelers minus 3.5, total is 47. The Steelers kind of backslid into the playoffs where the Browns got a little head of steam on them. I will take the Browns on the road here with the big upset. Well, not big. It's only 3.5, but I don't think anyone's picking them to win. And then Tennessee is hosting the Ravens. Total is 54.5. The Ravens are 4.5-point favorite. You know, with no fans in half the stadiums, there's not a real big home field advantage this year. But Tennessee beat Baltimore last year, if I'm not mistaken, and I think they do it again. So give me the higher seed, but they're an underdog, Titans. And then the Chiefs are the number one seed, not playing this weekend. So I'm going to think the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl for the AFC.
Okay, so then you have the Chiefs beating Cleveland. Who do you have winning out of Tennessee and Buffalo?
Give me Buffalo. I'm going very chalky here.
Okay. Not a lot to discuss, as I also agree Buffalo should win rather easily against the Colts. They're a good team and a good story, but they're not on Buffalo's level. And unless Jonathan Taylor has another 250-yard, 2-touchdown rushing performance in him, Buffalo is just going to continue to roll. You said that you are taking Cleveland over Pittsburgh. So am I. I think Pittsburgh was drastically overrated this entire year, and their opponent's strength of schedule bears that out. Now, that Week 17 game was unnecessarily close, with Mason Rudolph under center and Cleveland making it as hard as they possibly could to get into the playoffs and break that streak. But I think they have a little momentum, and if they can stick to the run with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they can win this game. Now, they did lose Olivier Vernon, and I think that hurts a lot to their defense. He tore his Achilles, I believe, in Week 17, beating those Steelers. But yeah, I just don't believe this Pittsburgh team is nearly as good as the 12-4 record indicates. So I'm with you.
They were 11-0, and they finished 12-4, so they've gone 1-4 in their last five games. They're walking back. I mean, and obviously they have the experience. It's not like if they beat Cleveland, I'm picking Cleveland, but it's no shocker. If any team that we're both picking to lose has a chance at even going to the Super Bowl, it's probably the Steelers, given their experience and their roster. And I think Tomlin's a good coach, so it's not a huge knock on them. But I just think momentum-wise, these are two teams going opposite direction.
Do you also think that Pittsburgh wanted to play Cleveland? Because they could have potentially got the 2 seed, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, if they won and Buffalo didn't win against Miami, Pittsburgh would have been the 2 seed. So they wouldn't have been playing Cleveland, and Buffalo would have been playing Cleveland. So I wonder how much of that was the devil you know.
Yeah.
Potentially. So I'm with you on Cleveland. I think they're fun to root for right now. I didn't look at any of the spreads, so for you to tell me that Baltimore is giving points to Tennessee, that's just disrespectful to the Titans, but I'm still riding with Baltimore to win this game. I just think they're a better team all around. Tennessee's defense isn't any good. They just got into a firefight with the Houston Texans for no good reason in Week 17. So I also have KC facing Cleveland. I have KC winning. Then I have Buffalo-Baltimore, which I think is going to be one hell of a game. And at present, I'm going with Baltimore over Buffalo. I like Buffalo a lot, but I'm not riding the Super Bowl wave that everyone else seems to be on with them. So I have KC playing Baltimore, and KC went into advance to the Super Bowl. Give me your NFC side.
NFC, Packers are the number one seed, not playing this weekend. The number two seed, New Orleans Saints, hosting the 8-8 Chicago Bears. Saints are 8.5-point favorite, total is 48. I think the Saints beat the shit out of the Bears, and I don't think anyone disagrees. I think it's the biggest spread of the week. It is. Number three seed, Seattle Seahawks, hosting the Rams. Seahawks are a 4.5-point favorite, total is 42. Going to go with another upset here. Give me the 6-3 in NFC and AFC. I think the Rams, the Seahawks can have some stinkers mixed in there. And although I think the Rams stink and I think the Seahawks are the better team, you can't just pick the highest seed in each one. So I'm going to actually pick the Rams here. And then the 4 seed, somehow 7-9. Washington football team hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is a 7.5-point favorite. Totals 46.5. 2 weeks ago, if you told me this is what the matchups were, I probably would have said, give me the underdog story in Washington. But Tampa's offense has really been clicking. And despite Washington's defense being pretty damn stout, I think Tampa keeps clicking on offense and beats the football team.
All right. We got at least one disagreement here, and it's ironic that you've gone in this direction. But first and foremost, I agree. The Saints looked impressive without a running back room, just dismantling the Carolina Panthers in Week 17. But does Alvin Kamara play? I heard that he could play Sunday. He wouldn't be cleared for Saturday. So they have a Sunday game. So he could potentially be active for this game, but he also might not play in this game, which I think would actually hurt him against the Bears. Didn't obviously hurt against the Carolina Panthers, but I think that's something to monitor a little bit. That spread would indicate that I think even Vegas expects him to play. I do have the Saints either way, because the Bears are just overmatched and Mitch Trubisky doesn't belong in the same field as Drew Brees at this point in their careers. But the Seattle game, the Rams, is Goff playing? I think they even said probably not. I'm not going to trust John Wofford in the playoffs. I don't care how good the Rams defense is. Russ, playoff Russ will prevail there and take down the Rams. Tampa, Washington, I just watched it the first half of one of the ugliest football games in NFL history on Sunday night, and glad I didn't watch the second half where 3 points were scored. But Washington tried everything in their power not to win that game. They almost out-tanked the Eagles to not get in these playoffs. So that's not how you want to go into facing a high-powered offense like Tampa Bay. And outside of their pass rush, the rest of their defense isn't anything to write home about. Very average throughout. Mike Evans, supposedly no structural damage, could probably play to Saturday. But even if he doesn't, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and Rob Gronkowski are much better than the shit that the Eagles trotted out there on Sunday night that will just pick apart this Washington secondary and minimize that pass rush, because you know Brady's getting the ball out quick. He's not like Hurts. He's not going to hold on to it, try and scramble around. Oh, no. He's counting his steps on his drop, and that ball is coming out before Chase Young ends his football career. So I'm going to go Tampa Bay as well. So I went with absolute chalk on the NFC side. So I have Green Bay facing Tampa and Seattle facing New Orleans, which I think are the best matchups to have. I have Green Bay and Seattle advancing, because I don't know. I'm just not convinced that the Saints are a great team. I think they're a good team. And so I have Kansas City's Patrick Mahomes facing off against regular season MVP Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl in Tampa on Sunday, February 7th. I don't know what I just said there. I think I said September.
It doesn't matter. Yep. That's chalky, 1-1. So let's see here. What am I going to do? I got the Rams, so the 6 will play Green Bay. Green Bay beats them. Got the 2 playing the 5 with no fans. Fuck. I'm going to take
the third time they're meeting, and the Saints won both matchups against
them. I'm going to take Tampa. I hate doing this because I'm going to take Tampa to beat the Saints, but I think – Green Bay beats Tampa, and I don't want to go 1-1. If I had the Saints beat Tampa, I would take the Saints over the Packers, but I don't see it happening. So I guess I'm going with you. Give me 2 number one seeds, like 2 front running jerk offs.
We got there, Johnny. The bye prevails in this crazy COVID impacted 2020-21 season. So Kansas City facing Green Bay in the Super Bowl for both of us. Who wins?
It's hard to go back to back. I'll take the Packers. You know, we said this. Let's go back to where this whole year started, which is the Packers drafted up to pick Love, and we said Aaron Rodgers is just going to go out there and throw the biggest fuck you season in history. So how does that conclude with a fucking big championship? Telling the front office, you're going to have to keep me. Find something to do with this kid.
Just imagine, 4,300 yards, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and another 3 rushing. So 51 touchdowns on the year with almost 4,300 yards. Aaron Rodgers turned back the clock and definitely thumbed his nose at the Green Bay front office week after week. Imagine if there were fans in the stands during this all-time season for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, his previous touchdown high was 45. So he set a new career high as far as touchdowns were concerned. So his ratio has to be damn close because it was 45 to 6, 48 to 5. He has the best touchdown to interception ratio of his career. And still, at the ripe old age of however the fuck old he is, 37, puts 150 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns on a lighter, too, just for good
measure. Only 37?
Yeah, I thought he was older too, but yep, 37. He just turned. Happy birthday, Aaron. December 2nd, he turned. So just a month ago, he turned 37.
Oh, God.
Yep. So, he's
going to play 6 more years, isn't he?
he's definitely going to play into his 40s. So, I mean, that Jordan Love pick, I mean, they might be having to negotiate a second contract with Jordan Love before Aaron Rodgers leaves.
Yeah. So, who are you going with?
I'm going with Kansas City in the repeat. The rare repeat, if you're not the Patriots, their offense is just next level. And when they're clicking, there is no one in the NFL. Be damned. I don't care how good your defense is. I don't care how good your offense is. You just can't stay with them. I mean, you can't defend what they put out there. I mean, if you find a way to minimize Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, they will still somehow throw daggers to Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Robinson. They'll sprinkle in the backfield. It's amazing watching that offense hum. And 14-2 didn't come off. It couldn't have been easier. What I want to say, it looked effortless most weeks for the Kansas City Chiefs. So they'll be rested and relaxed. You know, 2 weeks vacation before they have to beat up on, as we're saying, the Cleveland Browns in their first week into the playoffs in the divisional round. I mean, I think they will be ready for a war. Anything more on that, even though you're just obviously disgusted with yourself for going 1-1? No. You're just – that's how disgusted you are with yourself. You just can't even speak. I expected better from you, but this is where we ended up, John. So 1-1. You're going Green Bay. I'm going Kansas City. Okay, so now we've laid the stage for the teams and how we think the playoffs pan out. So now we're going to dabble in the fantasy playoff format a little bit. So whether it is, you know, the old faithful, you get to pick one player from each team, so 14 slots, or if you're playing on like the NFL.coms of the world where you get double points on buys or whatever. Let's talk about some of your favorite players from these teams and why you like them so much.
So, real quick, just to break down the two differences that most of the leagues have. Many of them are just you use a guy once, and once you use him, you can't use him again. So you got to kind of be strategic with how you set it up, because if you use, you know, let's say you used whatever. We'll say Tom Brady in round one, and then round two, the Packers come off the bye, you use Aaron Rodgers, and you end up – or let me rephrase that. And then round two, you use Pat Mahomes. So now you've burned one quarterback on each side. If it ends up being Tampa and Kansas City in the Super Bowl, you don't have a quarterback available to use. So in those leagues, at least that quarterback in particular and any single position, like a lot of leagues use kicker in the playoffs, you got to just figure out where you're going to ride it out in the NFC or AFC, and then whoever gets there from the other conference. This is going to be your quarterback. I mean, you can play with fire and try to risk it, and then hopefully you're waiting for Brady to lose, maybe if they play Green Bay at some point, and then it all depends how it shakes out. And then the other one, you had mentioned the NFL playoff bracket that a lot of people use. It's all multipliers. So if you put a guy in, and I remember I did really well in one year, and then I got murdered in the Super Bowl. The Patriots had the bye in the first week, and a lot of people had tons of Patriot players on their roster. So going into week one, they got 0 points from anybody. But each further round in the playoffs, their points are multiplied. So round one, you get their regular points. Round two, it's 2 times. Third round, 3 times. Fourth round, it's 4 times. So even though you get zeros from these guys in round one, every 10 fantasy points in round four, you're getting 40 points. So In those leagues, you could start guys on the bye, and then you just leave them plugged in your lineup the whole time. Obviously, you need the teams to keep winning. But, kind of, you had said, we went chalk here. So in those kind of leagues, you can play all your Chiefs and then just take the goose egg and hope they keep winning in round one. As far as the other leagues, you're obviously fading the guys on the bye in week one because you can't use them if their team loses going forward. In week one, I try to target the teams that are projected to score the most but aren't going to win. So looking at dogs and higher scoring games is the way to go. So this might be a place you had mentioned Taylor coming off his big week seven game. If you think the Bills are going to beat him, you think they're going to lean on him heavy. Total's 51.5. They're a 7-point underdog. Taylor's a guy I really like for fantasy this week because you're probably not going to use him again heading into week two.
Yeah, very well said, and playing into that mantra. His backfield mate on your week, your playoff wildcard roster could be a Derrick Henry, who also are home dogs, getting 3.5 points and a 55-point total. So why not just ride running backs 1 and 2 from week 17 in the proverbial week 18 matchup, where if they go home, you know, at least you maximized their value in the short term. And, you know, the same could kind of be said for receivers on those teams, you know, the T.Y. Hiltons and A.J. Browns of the world, where you don't want to miss out on those guys because you're right. If you don't play your hand correctly, I forget what year it was, but I had to it was the Jimmy Garoppolo Super Bowl season for San Fran, and I had to start Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so did I.
I didn't think they were getting there. So that was a huge, and I don't think he had a bad game. It was not enough to get me the win, and I just didn't have a choice in getting there. So you either need to be right with your picks, or you just need to, you know, hit every chance you get when players are available. So I like your methodology of looking at the high totals and the dogs. You know, that would make me think an Allen Robinson, who by no means are the Bears going to beat the Saints. It doesn't matter. There's no fans in the stadium. I mean, it's Drew Brees. He's not going out in round one of the wild card against the Bears in the Superdome. So Allen Robinson should be a guy to target as well. But you know what? He didn't see much in that blowout loss to the Packers, which was a game that was valuable to the Bears as well. So who knows?
He's going
to
see Lattimore. That's not ideal either.
Yeah. Lattimore doesn't scare me, to be honest with you. I think he's more of a talker.
But I'd rather get a guy that sucks. You know what I mean? I'd rather not play.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in the grand scheme, but then you could potentially walk away and not have gotten any value from a team in the wild card round. So you're just avoiding the Bears altogether because you're not going to start Dave Montgomery against that Saints run defense.
No, but I think you can avoid the Bears. I mean, what are they projected for? 19.5. Mm-hmm. So they're not even going to get to 3 scores. So like we did kind of during the last few weeks of the fantasy playoffs, you know, look at your projected team totals and decide who's not even going to get on the scoreboard. There's no, you know, it's not an ideal matchup. Going back to your point on Garoppolo, where you end up playing this kind of cat and mouse game thinking, well, this fucking team ain't going to make it. If you're going to do that, I really think you have to play NFC quarterbacks in the first couple rounds, because if you don't, and if you end up going, well, I'll take whoever gets there from the NFC in the championship. I mean, it's unlikely because they're not favorites and all that, but still on the table. You could be stuck with Alex Smith, Jared Goff, or Mitch Trubisky to close out the fantasy playoffs, and that's not good. Whereas if you pivot to the AFC side, the worst you're doing is Phillip Rivers. You're either going to have Mahomes, Allen, Big Ben, Tannehill, Lamar Jackson, or Mayfield. So whoever you get on the AFC as your quarterback, I think you're going to be happy with if you use up all your NFC quarterbacks in the first 3 rounds.
I think that's very well said, you know, and who knows, Mitch Trubisky could get yanked for Nick Foles at any given moment.
Yes.
I mean, I just don't think that's beyond them. I think Matt Nagy is still fighting for his job a bit at the end of the day. And Jared Goff's no sure thing either. So like you said, that could be John Wofford, you know, who you think are going to beat Seattle around. What? Yeah, you don't want to, even though he looked pretty spry running around that Arizona Cardinals defense. I think that was a 1 week aberration that was more an indictment on Arizona than anything else, but they also lost Kyler Murray. So I guess they deserve to be home. At least the Rams have a playoff caliber defense. So I'm with you on that. It seems to make sense to target some of these NFC quarterbacks early on. Like, I think Tom Brady against Washington is a great first round bet, because I think they throw all over Washington. I don't know that you run all over Washington. I think they will at the end.
I mean,
of the
any of the three favorites, you can't go wrong with on the NFC. Breeze. Yeah,
I believe the Bears a little bit. And is Mike Thomas coming back for this week? I'm not sure. Is Alvin Kamara going to be allowed to play this week? I'm not
correct.
Sure.
With his full complement of weapons.
Sure. You know, Seattle, Christ, you know this better than anyone. This game is just going to be ugly. It's a low total for a reason, because it's the NFC West. Like, these third time these teams have played each other this year, and I didn't even look in before, and I'll do a quick dive. You probably even know what the scores of these games were so far. 20-9 win for the Seahawks in week 16 and a 23-16 loss in week 10. So 23 was the high scored by a team in the two games between these teams. So you were talking not wanting to target someone with low totals. One, this total is pretty low, and two, they've shown that they're going to be down around there. I mean, 20-9 the last time they played, 23-whatever. I mean, I don't think they hit 43 either time. So yeah, I don't know that I want to go chasing that game, even though there's a lot of value to be had on for both those teams if they're at full strength. I mean, Christ almighty, they go two deep at receiver. They have a quality running back, and at least one team has a viable fantasy quarterback in Russell Wilson. So that's unfortunate that they're where they're at, because, yeah, I don't think you want to go after the Seattle Rams game either.
No, and the thing, too, like we'd mentioned, where if you don't use someone, you lose access to them in the next round. There's enough name value in this game where I think you could get a pretty good advantage by fading it and having all these guys available to you in the next round, depending on who wins, matchup, all that other stuff. Because, you know, there's going to be teams who are like, you know, there's guys who just want a piece of DK. You know what I mean? They want that upside, or on the Rams side, you know, well, Robert Woods, they do use him a lot. And if they lose, I'm not going to get a chance to use him again. So I think there's enough play. There are enough players in this game where people are going to, I think, throw some darts on them, not thinking about the total, not thinking about what they've done in the other weeks where they're like, you know, I could stack Russell Wilson with DK Metcalf and, you know, get fucking nothing for it. Whereas their next matchup, obviously, depending on how it plays out, is going to be more favorable for them.
Yeah, and that fact that we have two extra games to choose from on Wild Card Weekend now,
yeah,
with the twos getting a bye, leaves you with a lot more than you used to have to draw from. You used to have four games, you know, eight teams, yep, that you wanted to pick from. And so the pickings were a lot slimmer. You know, Buffalo and New Orleans weren't on the card last year in this same scenario, nor were the Colts or the Bears, because they would be sitting at home just outside of the playoffs. So it is a little different this year. It's a deeper pool to draw from. But I like your methodology. Now, I play in a league that you pick one player from all 14 teams before kickoff on Saturday, and you have to fill two quarterbacks, four wide receivers, four running backs, two tight ends, kicker, and defense. Okay, so their strategy in obviously maximizing the value of the point positions with players that are going to play three plus games, if indeed you can. So you punt, kicker, and defense. You find the two teams that are the biggest dogs, and you pick a kicker and defense from those teams. That's at least how I play it in week one, because it's rare that one of
is it for the whole week, or you get these guys for you carry your playoff run,
entire playoff, so you can never change.
Gotcha.
You can pick Mahomes as your quarterback if you want. You don't get week one points, but you could get weeks two, three, and Super Bowl points. So you can get three games still out of a Patrick Mahomes if you so desire, or you can go with Tyreek Hill, or you can go with Travis Kelce. You know, you still want to, especially since we both had KC going to the Super Bowl, you want someone in that offense of significance, even though they're on the bye. So it props up the value of the teams you think are going to advance. So given what we just did with the KC Green Bay Super Bowl and, you know, the shocking two-game play, of the Cleveland Browns, and very chalky other than that, who are some guys that, if you were playing in that format, that you think have increased value?
The more that we're looking through this, I don't want any piece of this NFC anything. I mean, the Packers are on the bye, so I'm not including them. The Saints, without their full complement of weapons, are not – you don't really want Breeze. You want Latavius Murray? No, thank you. That Seahawks-Rams is a shit matchup. The Bears are the Bears. Washington isn't a high-powered offense. They play it super safe, although I do get the upside of McKissick and Gibson and PPR even in the playoffs. To me, this round one is screaming all Buccaneers as much as I can get in my lineup, to be honest. But that is beside the point. Who would I take in your format? Well, you want to make sure you get as many games out of the quarterbacks as possible. And we said we like the Chiefs in Green Bay, so I know it hurts you in that first round. I think I plug in Rodgers and Mahomes and take the goose egg for both of them in round one because I believe you're going to get three games out of both of them. Other guys, I think you'll see three games. NFC, it's either the Saints or Tampa, right? I don't see how.
Well, see,
Tampa would have to play Green Bay, so that's.
And then you're chopping you're chopping your head off with Aaron Rodgers getting knocked out after one game if you're buying into Tampa. But see, that's what you have to do. But Tampa, we're assuming at least plays two games to get there, so there's still value in Tampa. Like we both believe that Washington does not win, so
correct.
You don't want to value any of the Washington players too highly. We both don't think the Bears really stand a chance, so you don't want to value them too highly. But I have both Tampa and New Orleans losing in the second round, so both of them just playing 2 weeks. So there's so much firepower to be had in those teams, but I have them both capped at two games, so it mitigates the value of some of those players in this type of format, in my opinion.
Yeah, you almost wonder, with us having the one seed doing well, I wonder if it's worth it targeting these three seeds. Like Seattle's going to do shit in week one, but let's say Seattle wins. They would play the best remaining seed, which right could be New Orleans. Is that possible? Yeah.
We all had chalk in the NFC. So, yeah, Seattle plays New Orleans around two, the way we – it just goes straight – it just feeds straight out because we had all
– And if New Orleans is still banged up, it's not – similar, like I said, about the Steelers. The Seahawks team has a ton of experience in the playoffs, and they still have Russell Wilson. They could win. So it wouldn't be shocking for me to see the Seahawks play three games, nor the Steelers, despite having both of them losing in the first round. You know, you just can't pick the top seed in each one because it never plays out like that. So to me, the sneaky play in that kind of setup, and same as that NFL playoff challenge, not that I think either one gets to the Super Bowl, but they could. They have a better chance than most of the teams below them. But those are kind of sneaky teams just based on matchup if you don't want to run into the number one seed buzzsaw 2 weeks in.
Yeah, see, I have Seattle playing three games. I have them beating the Saints and losing to Green Bay. So I currently, don't tell anybody, have Russell Wilson as my other quarterback because as much as I love DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey in round one, you mentioned Marcus Lattimore in round two. I mean, the teams have made it their life's mission to limit DK Metcalf at this point, which is why Tyler Lockett's catching 12 balls in a 17 game. So I wouldn't want to pin my hopes to DK where there's quality corners that can kind of hem him up. I'm definitely not picking Tyler Lockett. I'm not trusting their backfield. So if three games happen, you know, it's going to be because Russell Wilson makes them happen at the end of the day. So I'm with you on that. I like Russell Wilson, which just made me pivot a little different on the Green Bay side of the house with going with a Devontae Adams. If Aaron Rodgers is having huge games, it's because of Devontae Adams. I mean, he could have good games without him, but if he's having huge games, you're assuming Devontae Adams is catching one, if not multiple touchdowns in those matchups. So I think a good pivot off of Aaron Rodgers is actually just to go to Devontae Adams at the end of the day and still get most of the value in that Green Bay passing game because, I mean, there's what a deep MVS touchdown here and there, a Robert Tonyan touchdown here and there, a dump off to a running back here and there. But, you know, more or less it's 35 to 40% of the targets are going to Devontae Adams. And I got to think that's probably the floor in the playoffs. Devontae Adams could literally see a 50% market share. Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just as we've been doing this, you know, thoughts are popping in my head. I don't see how I don't go Tom Brady in round one in most leagues. I don't see if they move on, I take Wilson or Breeze in round two. And then in round three, I'm probably taking Aaron Rodgers, whoever the Packers are playing. And then
whoever makes it out of the AFC is your quarterback.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to do it in every league. I don't, like I said, just seeing my options, if I pivot and go AFC in these first rounds, it's just, I could have trash in the NFC. I mean, and the Saints, even if the Saints make it with their injuries and people are sick and all this other shit, I like Breeze. I don't want to trust him. You want to trust?
You're going to get the two rushing touchdown Taysom Hill game.
There you go. Yeah, there's enough question marks for half of the teams in the NFC that, yeah, I want. You got to filter that out early. So, spoiler alert, if anybody's in playoff leagues with me, I'll be riding NFC teams for the early part of the playoffs.
Yeah, hard to argue that, but with, you know, you'd hate to miss out on a Josh Allen, 400-yard, four touchdown loss performance. You know,
you're correct, but the option of,
I think your mentality is going to change in round two when you're going to have between Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Russell Wilson to pick from in a divisional round. You're like, I can work with that going forward. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to get me some Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson because, as we're saying it, one of them is going to lose that game because we both had Buffalo playing Baltimore. I believe so. Did you pick Buffalo or did you pick Baltimore or Tennessee? You picked Baltimore as well, right?
No, I took Tennessee.
Okay, so then you have Lamar Jackson going out round one, you know, so now you're talking Tannehill or Josh Allen. So at that point, I'd probably pick Buffalo over Tennessee. So then you'd be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. So Josh Allen just keeps waving at you every week, and you're like, no, I'm just going to wait till the Super Bowl. And then you're like, shit, I missed out on that firefight between Mahomes and Josh Allen in the conference championships. And because I wanted to save the winner, so now I had to start Tom Brady.
You gotta play it out in your head, and you go,
play it smart enough to the conference championships, and you have between Mahomes and Allen to pick from. I mean, yeah, you're playing with fire, because if you pick Allen and Buffalo wins, then you're screwed. But if you pick Allen and AC wins, you look like an absolute genius, because you then played the game, my friend. But I'm with you. That's how I ended up with Jimmy Garoppolo in a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I felt the other side of that coin. But, yeah, I like your thought process around targeting the NFC early in those type of formats. Anyone, let's just real quick before we have to go, in kind of those NFL.com formats where you're willing to eat the bye to stack, we both had the number one seeds advancing all the way to the Super Bowl. Is there a world where you don't have a single player going in the wild card round in an NFL.com type league where you just mix and match KC against Green Bay? And you,
I mean, the NFL one, I don't know the exact breakdown of players. I don't know if it's one, two running backs or three running backs, but look, you can go Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes, go to running back. You can go
our boy
Aaron Jones and Edwards-Helaire. No one's gonna have a problem with going Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and tight end. You can go Kelsey or Tanyan, to be honest. So yeah, there's a real good chance of you taking a fucking goose egg and just stacking up with both of these teams. And to be honest, you can do all of Chiefs. I mean, if you want to get completely crazy, you know. Unless they completely go off in the Super Bowl, which is also certainly possible. I mean, you could go Mahomes, Bell, CEH. You know, you think Sammy Watkins. What's more 2020 than a Sammy Watkins Super Bowl explosion? So you could just go straight Chiefs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it, but it's, you have to differentiate depending how big of a league you're playing in.
Yeah, I'm staying away from CEH on that high ankle. But I think you can easily field a KC Green Bay team with insert running back here. Like we were talking about, put Jonathan Taylor in week one. Maybe that's the card you play, is, I try and pick the best guy outside. I'm not going to stack my points, but I'm going to I'm going to get the best option that week or take a Derrick Henry. And maybe Derrick Henry plays two or three games. So, yeah, you have to figure it out in the conference championships where you have to pivot over to a Chris Carson, perhaps, if Seattle's there, or yeah, or an Alvin Kamara, you know, in rounds two or three. Like, there's with these extra teams, there's so much more strategy now because you're not getting tapped out so quick. If one of these, you know, in a single game can shatter a slate when there was less to draw from. Now it seems like there's a lot more variability here, and you're not trapped if you make one wrong move.
It's you know, it's funny. I've thought about it all year with the extra team and how it would play out. And now that it's here, I didn't realize how big of a I don't want to say challenge, but it does add a whole nother wrinkle to this. Like you said, just having the extra game this weekend, having these two fucking teams in there, and you know, this would be a lot easier without who's the seventh seed. Dump the Bears and the Colts. This makes it Bears and Colts, no Saints, no Packers, no Bills, no Chiefs this weekend. That's much more palatable having Seahawks, Rams, Washington, Tampa, and just Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Tennessee, Baltimore to worry about.
It would be, right? You know, but the NFL, if nothing, wants to make things more complex and difficult, you know, and adding teams and taking away buys. Yeah, you know? So just watering it down even more. So thank you, Goodell. For comfortable with something like a fantasy playoff type mentality, you go and switch that up on us as well. So interesting, a lot of nuggets here, but nothing more, much more to talk about other than I just read that Josh Jacobs just got arrested for DUI. His season was over and he's out in Vegas. So why not drive around drunk in your backyard, John? And I think you got to go bail him out. Right before your appointment. So take us out of here, buddy, and good luck to everyone in the fantasy playoffs.
Off to jail. Anyway, for the Fantasy 40, good luck. Hopefully you did well, and we were able to help you in the fantasy football season. If we didn't, sorry. Hopefully this helps you, though, for any of these fantasy playoff leagues. I know I'm in quite a few this year, I think more than I've been in, and I'm probably going to jump in a few more before the weekend gets here, because especially after this, I feel like I got a pretty good command of what's going to happen. So I'm feeling this has motivated me to do better. But for myself, John DeBarry, for my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
Out!
God damn it.
Yes.
We should start it every week. Okay.